They were celebrating, of course, the appearance day of Nityananda Prabhu. What is it that we should understand about Lord Nityananda? Ordinarily, practically no one in Kali Yuga should be Krishna conscious. Ordinarily, Krishna is very difficult to approach. You know the stipulations that Krishna makes in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakamshati Samat Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhatekala. Krishna says, first you come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. You understand that you're spirit soul. You're completely fixed in that understanding. And therefore you're joyful because you're free from hankering and lamentation about the material plane and its affairs. You see all living entities as equal. In that position, Krishna says, you can begin to think about performing devotional service. This is how strict Krishna is. Later, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, just surrender to me. In Kali Yuga, you would have great difficulty accepting Krishna's proposal because the atmosphere is so sinful. There are two things that are preventing our thorough understanding of Bhagavad Dharma, the science of Godhead. On the one hand, everyone is covered by such a load of sinful activity. On the other hand, Krishna is adhokshaja. Literally, he makes your senses go down. He's beyond the reach of your senses. Because of these two factors, understanding Krishna is very difficult in Kali Yuga. In this material world, you'll find Brahman realization. You'll find people who, by their intelligence, can understand that we are not the body, we're spirit soul, and that there is an all-pervading spiritual energy. That much you can figure out with your material intelligence and through logic and reason. Sometimes you'll find a little bit of knowledge of Paramatma, super soul realization. Some persons can figure out that the Lord is in everyone's heart. You've read about Christian saints, maybe, who had that realization. But you'll never find in this material world knowledge of Bhagavan. Therefore, the knowledge of Bhagavan especially has to be brought from outside the material world in. So Krishna himself personally does that. He sends his representatives. Still, Krishna is not very compromising. He demands a very high standard. But when the Lord himself, when Krishna and Balaram come as Shishi Gaura Nithai, they break all their own requirements and stipulations. Lord Chaitanya distributes Krishna consciousness so easily. First you taste what is Krishna, and then you sign up. There's Krishna, gives no breaks. First surrender, then we talk about the taste. Lord Chaitanya's program is first taste and then we'll try to work up a deal. Krishna doesn't do that. He makes his position clear in Bhagavad Gita. Come to the Brahmabhuta platform and then we'll think about your beginning bhakti. Surrender to me. That's the program. But that same Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya and freely distributes himself. That is the only reason why people in Kali Yuga can become Krishna conscious. We should never think that, oh, maybe I am especially pious, or maybe I have some good qualifications of my own. the qualifications of Kali Yuga, the so-called good qualifications in Kali Yuga, are so meager compared to the actual standard. There's no way that anyone can become proud that I had some good qualities, therefore I took up Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission. I had some piety. Hare Krishna. Are these marigolds, by the way? Yes, I have to give the marigolds a miss. Because Hare Krishna. So, if we truly understand our situation in Kali Yuga, then we can appreciate Lord Chaitanya's magnanimity. It's amazing how, in spite of such a low level of qualification, we develop pride. I wasn't so bad. I know a lot of people who were much worse than me in Kali Yuga. Or I was pious. I was always inclined towards spiritual life. My grandmother was very religious. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of sinful activity going on, but, you know, practically speaking, I didn't do anything. I mean, compared to some of the others I know, you know, compared to the new devotees these days, I was a saint, you know. In this way, we try to bolster our false ego without understanding. If we consider our true position, just like following in the example of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, when they approached Lord Chaitanya as Dabhyakas and Sakaramali, they said, "You won't find anyone more sinful than us. You're known as Patita Pavana, deliverer of the most fallen. In order for your reputation to be true, you've got to save us. And if you don't save us, you're not going to find anyone more suitable. But if you do save us, your reputation will spread everywhere as truly being the deliverer of the most fallen." This way they inspired Lord Chaitanya. Have mercy on us. Now, actually, what was the position of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami in their so-called material life? They were born in Saraswati Brahmana family, high-class Brahmana Gotra. They were educated in so many languages, Persian, Sanskrit. They were shrewd Brahminical advisors to the government. Actually, they were very well qualified. But note the way they presented themselves to Lord Chaitanya. Sanatana Goswami said, "Ni jati ni sangi patita adomo. I'm low born. All my associates are low. I'm drowning at the bottom of the well of sinful materialism." Just note how we have the tendency to conjure up goodness for ourselves. I was always spiritual. I was always religiously inclined. Krishna Dharma runs strong in my family. As soon as I came in touch with Krishna consciousness, I immediately knew what to do. It wasn't much of a struggle for me. Even now, I'm situated quite nicely, if you ask me. Even now, I feel quite comfortable in my spiritual execution. Actually, there is so much more that we can get from Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai if we follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Everything is relative, so we might think that, oh, I'm not so bad, I'm very pious. But that's the Kali Yuga standard. Compared to other yugas, even the most pious person today is so fallen. We should not be very quick to add value to our existence in Kali Yuga. Lord Caitanya is known as Kali Yuga Pavana. He's the deliverer of those suffering in Kali Yuga. First, we have to admit we are suffering. We cannot become bewildered by relativities. I mean, compared to everyone else, I'm not that bad. Or compared to everyone else, my situation's kind of good. When you look at the whole span of human existence, all the different yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, then we can understand how forlorn and how weak our position is. Even our lifespan is so short. Yet, in the short lifespan that we have, 75, 80 years at the most, we become so proud. Yes, I'm successful. Yes, my business is doing nicely. My children are all in university. I'm effectively practicing Krishna Dharma. Everything is fine. Without Lord Caitanya's mercy, there'd be no way we can approach Krishna in the age of Kali. Some time today should be spent meditating on our actual position, not just in terms of those around us or those in our country, but let's look at the whole span of human existence, all the different yugas, and then we can truly understand our situation and why Krishna himself had to come into Kali Yuga and distribute Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahavaranyaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namane Gaur Dasena Maha. I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more merciful than any other avatar, freely giving what no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. That is the fact about Lord Gauranga's mercy. But actually, the most effective way to approach Lord Gauranga's mercy is to approach Lord Nityananda. As seen in the Leela of Jagai and Madai, Lord Caitanya was going to finish them off, Jagai and Madai. And Nityananda said, no, remember your mission. Remember your mission statement. It's the vogue these days that all companies and businesses have a mission statement. So Gauranga was going to finish off Jagai and Madai. But Nityananda reminded him, please focus on your mission statement. You're here not to kill, but you're here to give Krishna praying. Because of Nityananda's intercession, even though apparently Nityananda had been wounded, still he interceded, and Lord Caitanya accepted. Today is a day for meditating on approaching Lord Caitanya through Lord Nityananda. Nittai Parakamala, Koti Chandra Shushitala. His lotus feet are more soothing than millions of moons. In traditional Indian society, people had knowledge about the soothing effect of the moon's rays upon the psyche, upon the mind. Therefore, in aristocratic homes, there would always be a chair in the back, outside, where someone could swing in the moonlight or sit in the moonlight. Take advantage of the soothing effects of the moon's rays on the mind. That's why the example is given about Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Nitai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra Shushitala. More soothing than millions of moons. We cannot conceive of that kind of soothingness. Because of Lord Nityananda, we can easily approach Lord Chaitanya. That is the path recommended by Narottam Das Thakur. Akabe Nitai Chand Karuna Hoibe. When will Lord Nityananda be merciful upon me and extinguish all my material desires. When Lord Nityananda is merciful upon me, then I'll be able to chant the name Gauranga. Tears shooting from my eyes. Krishna consciousness is highly emotional. It is a combination of the emotions and the intelligence. It's not one minus the other, it's both. It is the most perfect combination of head and heart that you'll find in existence. Bhakti yoga, properly performed, absorbs our head and heart in a dynamic way as we proceed in our relationship with Krishna. Lord Nityananda makes it very easy to approach Lord Chaitanya, who makes it very easy to approach Lord Krishna. Therefore, who will you find more merciful than these two brothers, Sisi Gaur Nithai? Lochana Das Thakur prays, Parama Karuna Pohundvijana Nithai Guru Chandra Sabha Avatar Sashi Romani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Those two brothers are extremely, or supremely merciful, more than any other avatar, and they're the essence of all the avatars. Why are they the essence of all avatars? Because they are giving freely Krishna. Krishna generally doesn't like to be given. Any respectable person doesn't want to be distributed freely. If some stranger comes up to you and asks you personal questions, you would feel very uncomfortable. Well, who are you? I don't know you. We haven't established a relationship. You haven't done anything to win my confidence. Krishna is like that. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Pakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita. I don't let myself become exposed to everyone. I've got scruples. I'm a respectable person. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most respectable person. I don't let anyone just step into my face and try to establish a relationship without having some qualification. Those who are not qualified, yoga maya samavrata, they're covered by my deluding potency. I don't reveal myself to everyone. It's like Prabhupada told us in traditional Indian culture, even if a woman was going from her house across the street to visit a neighbor, she would go in a palanquin with both sides covered so no one could see. That's how one, at least for the lady, that's how she maintains respectability. So we can see that in a real culture, all these kind of mechanisms are in place to ensure respectability, to ensure sanctity, to make sure everything is not cheap. So Krishna is Adi Purusha. He's the original person. Bhutadi, the original living entity. Therefore, he maintains his respectability. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata. I don't let everyone see me. But when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, he gives himself freely to everyone. And Lord Nityananda can extract even more compassion and ease of availability out of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda can make that available to us. Maybe some of you are experiencing some impediments in your devotional life. Maybe there are some departments which could be improved in your personal existence. So today you can beg Lord Nityananda to bring some special mercy from Lord Chaitanya your way. Lord Nityananda is very easily appealed to. Maybe you're feeling that, oh, I'm troubled by so many material desires. Or occasionally I'm troubled by material desires. Of course, the great souls always pray that perennially I'm troubled by material desires. Therefore, you have to save me, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once very charitably said that the only difference between his disciples and him was that he's always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. Once Prabhupada revealed what he was thinking while gazing at the deities, he said he was simply thinking, I'm so rotten. Now a devotee of that stature can think like that, but somehow though we are quick to give ourselves all sorts of credit. I'm pretty good now that I think of it. Actually, I'm quite a bit spiritual. I've made quite a bit of advancement. To really tap into Lord Nityananda's mercy, we have to have a realistic appraisal of our position in Kali Yuga, devoid of all the value we've added to ourselves. I mean, actually, I'm educated, I've got a good job, I've got a nice family. Things are going well. It takes some spiritual vision to see the extent of our degradation in Kali Yuga. Shukadeva Goswami says, it is a symptom of Kali Yuga that even if you have the little bit that you can get in Kali Yuga, you think, oh, I'm special, I'm so fortunate. In comparison to other yugas, whatever opulences that are present in Kali Yuga, they're so tiny. Still, it's the nature of Kali Yuga that we get a little bit, we think, ah, just see, it's not so bad. If we actually want to take advantage of Lord Nityananda's mercy, we have to learn how to overlook any attempts that we make to add value to our own life. Something else we can meditate about Lord Nityananda is he's the ocean of good qualities. In order to sing that song, Nitagunami, he's the ocean of good qualities. The song says, well, I have no good qualities. How can that be? How can we really say that? It takes some careful reflection and contemplation to understand our real position in Kali Yuga. Then we can effectively cry out for the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who will appeal to Lord Chaitanya on our behalf. Why am I not chanting Hare Krishna and tears flowing from my eyes? That must be the proof that I need Lord Nityananda's mercy. When will I be completely immune to material desires? This must mean I need Lord Nityananda's mercy. The best way to get Lord Nityananda's mercy in approaching Lord Chaitanya is to do as Lord Nityananda did. Bring others to Krishna consciousness. Fulfill Krishna's desire that others are freely given the chance to be Krishna conscious. Lord Chaitanya personally sent Nityananda to preach. If we follow in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda by trying to cut a channel of love of God to everyone's door, certainly Lord Nityananda will smile upon us. This is something we all can meditate upon. How we all can do something for increasing the flood of love of Krishna. In this way, you become easily entitled to Lord Nityananda's blessings. This is a very special day for coming clean with Krishna. That means presenting your actual situation and then desperately begging for Lord Nityananda's mercy so that we have a special access to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Just like Jagai and Madhai, they got it. They got the mercy of Mahaprabhu because of Nityananda's plea. Remember your mission statement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't kill them. Nityananda's head was bleeding, but still, remember your mission statement, don't kill them. Give them Krishna. These are the emotions that are packed up in glorifying Lord Nityananda. If you're going to effectively distribute Krishna Bhakti on behalf of Shishi Gornatai, you have to know how to tolerate rejection, lack of appreciation, just as Nityananda demonstrated. Nityananda, he never lost sight of his mission to give out Krishna consciousness. That's what Sri Chaitanya wanted me to do. If we try to widen our concern for others, and from whatever position we have, whatever style of Krishna consciousness we're practicing in terms of ashrama, somehow that we can reach out to others, help them to be Krishna conscious, then we'll get the blessings of Lord Nityananda. And we can easily approach Lord Chaitanya. If we can have gatherings like this all over New Zealand. Just in the Auckland area alone. So many opportunities for gatherings. If we just teach and preach and teach and preach and counsel and advise, you'll see such a big change. But in order to teach and preach and counsel and advise, we cannot be selfish. A Vaishnav lives for others. According to our ashram situation, we try to live that principle. There are different styles of how to live for the others, according to our ashram situation. Still, a Vaishnav lives for the others. We should not be content that I have Krishna for myself. My situation's okay. I've got nice deities at home. Good prasad at home. I've got all the books in my bookshelf. That's very good. But we should think how others can get the same good fortune that I have. That will put us in touch with Lord Nityananda and his representatives. Today we can meditate on how to do away with any excuses we have why we cannot distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Today is a wonderful day for making a determined vow that somehow or other, according to my capacity, I will try to expand the flood of love of God. I'll be a worker for Lord Nityananda and his representatives. Somehow or other, I'm going to do it. Then we can experience the mercy of Lord Nityananda and easily take advantage of Lord Gauranga. Are there any questions?
Can you say a little bit about the relationship or the connection between Lord Nityananda and the spiritual master?
Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, as Chaitanya Charitamrita explains. Krishna is the actual guru. And then Krishna deputes others to represent him. When we say Krishna is the actual guru, we mean Krishna and his expansions, Lord Nityananda's expansion of Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Nitai Gaur. Just as when Krishna came, he gave the instruction, and Balaram gives the strength to carry Krishna's instruction. Similarly, Lord Nityananda, as the original spiritual master, helps us to dive deeply into Lord Chaitanya's ocean of mercy. The spiritual master has no mercy of his own. He's like a rain cloud that gathers water from the ocean of mercy, Krishna. And then, as a rain cloud, he brings the water onto the dry land, the conditioned souls, and pours the water down. But it's not his mercy, it's not his water. It's coming from the ocean of Krishna mercy. Lord Nityananda always felt, I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya. He always saw himself as Lord Chaitanya's servant. He didn't like it that Lord Chaitanya was carrying a danda. Lord Chaitanya was determined to set a powerful, rigid example as a sannyasi. So he was carrying the danda. As Lord Chaitanya's entourage approached Jagannath Puri, he asked Nityananda, hold my danda. And Nityananda conveniently broke it, threw it in the river. What is Mahaprabhu carrying a danda for? He's beyond renunciation. He's beyond Paramahansa. So Nityananda broke the danda. Lord Chaitanya was a little upset. Lord Chaitanya was determined to set a very rigid example of sannyasi. But Nityananda was thinking, what is the use of that? He's got nothing to renounce. Everything is his. He's beyond Paramahansa. No question of material contamination touching him. Break the danda in 3 pieces. Throw it in the river. Lord Chaitanya asked, well, what happened to my danda? Well, during your ecstasy while chanting the holy name, you sort of fell on the danda and it broke. You see? Lord Chaitanya could understand what happened, and I said, okay, I'm going ahead of the party. I'm going on my own to Jagannath Puri. Nityananda always saw himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Anything else? Yes?
As Kali Yuga progresses and people suffer more in the city life, it may be that some people might come to the development for the Krishna conscious communities to get some shelter and a more peaceful way of life.
Interesting, I was just discussing this point with Prana, that many don't understand. Let's talk about New Zealand particularly, in reference to Lord Nityananda's mercy. Right now, New Zealand is a social disaster in the making in terms of anyone under the age of 30. The neat and tidy British culture has long been lost. Christianity has been extinct decades ago. You'll find in the adults who are 45 and above, they still have some kind of civility, British civility, you know. Be nice when everybody's looking, and don't do anything over the top. Be neat and tidy, whatever you do. Excellent. That's all gone now. that civil Kali Yuga veneer is gone. Now, those who are under 30, they're wild. If you preach and start talking to these younger persons under the age of 30, you'll be shocked at what you hear. The level of abuse, the level of confusion and distortion. But because the dole is here, it kind of keeps an artificial tranquility for a while. But you wonder, what will the future of this country be with young people so out of it? Was it Jayatirtha Charan was telling me how in his, at one point in his son's high school class, out of maybe 25 students, only two or three could raise their hand and say they were living with both parents. The youth are left to run wild. In fact, the parents have no idea how to raise children, and so what can they say? The only thing they say to their kids these days is, whatever makes you happy. If it makes you happy, you do it. I don't want to describe the horrors. I can give you specifics, graphic accounts of the horrors that are common these days. If you... Well, you can't. You might want to think you're merciful and say, okay, please just come on the property, live in the temple, live in the Brahmacharya ashram. We'll slap some saffron on you. Here's your spot on the floor. You're a Brahmachari, Kijai. You might want to do that. It doesn't work. I tried this maybe 10 years ago when I first came to New Zealand. I thought, oh, everything's very peaceful. Everything's very prim and rosy and pukka. And that's just the surface. And even that surface in the past 10 years has, that facade has corroded so much. The level of psychological abuse that's gone on is so extraordinary. The personal chaos spawned by the social chaos is so extraordinary that you have to be very careful. You're doing persons a disservice. You're not being merciful. You're doing them a disservice to move them into the intimate association of devotees in their deranged condition. You're doing them a disservice. It's not mercy. Many times they don't even know how to take proper advantage of the opportunity you're giving them because their heads are just so bent out of shape. Their minds are so deranged. Better you have them establish themselves on their own for a while and then watch. That's the good thing you can say. You can make good use of the dole system. Okay, get a flat somewhere nearby or something and come regularly, engage in service. We'll watch you. Then you can see. But if you just take them off the street, so to speak, or out of their flats and homes of chaos and social breakdown and move them into a group of devotees who are already stable and purified, it causes havoc. I know one person just recently who was invited to, allowed, shall we say, to live at New Barshan. He even knew it was wrong. He said, nobody asked me what I was really into, what I was really doing. The guy was taking drugs. But no one asked me, you know. I knew it was wrong. Anyways, place to stay. And after a short time, even he himself thought, this isn't right. I told him, you're exactly right. It's not right. You can't give people an excuse to hide from themselves in the name of Krishna consciousness. If you want to practice Krishna consciousness, you've got to face the music. You've got to face who you are and your problems and how you're going to need to fix yourself up. And if you just, hey, just move right in, you know, whatever, we got a spot for you, and okay, you know, you got the mercy, that's it. That's not being merciful. That's actually injuring someone. Yeah. I know from my efforts in trying to teach Krishna consciousness, 50% of the people I come in contact with need some kind of professional counseling. 75% need some medical help from medical doctor because they're blowing themselves out physically. There's so much drugs, so much unrestricted sex life, so much horrible lifestyle. This is the reality. I could tell you details, but I don't want to. So you're doing a great disservice to them. You're not being merciful by prematurely giving them by prematurely moving them within the inner assembly of devotees. They should understand the association of devotees is a privilege. They can earn it. Qualify yourself. Give them some incentive to get themselves together. Give them some time to stabilize and let the purificatory effects of chanting Hare Krishna take place. But if you just move them in, okay, we got a spot for you. Can you pay the rent? Okay. We got a place for you. We got our unit for you. Pay the rent. Haribo. You're injuring them. You're doing them a great disservice. They'll have no impetus to change. No impetus to change, nor will anyone look after them personally. No one will even ask, what might you have been into before you took up Krishna consciousness? If you start asking, you'll be shocked at the things you hear. The level of parental abuse. The level of how they've abused their own bodies and minds. You'll be shocked. Better to let them become Krishna conscious. Stable in Krishna consciousness on their own. And then you watch and see, is this person capable of living in a community? Community life is not for everyone, you know. Community life requires a certain kind of commitment, certain kind of mentality. Not everyone has that. It doesn't mean they're not good devotees also. There are lots of good devotees who are just not community types. Doesn't mean they're not going to go back to Godhead. But if you're trying to have a community and just move anybody there, you're not only making life difficult for yourself, but you're also hurting that person. You have to see where somebody's at. In one case, I know, not only was the guy taking drugs, but the couple wasn't even married and had no, you know, and really had no intention, had doubts about whether they should be together. Here's your, you're moving in together. You can't do this. The best that you cultivate the persons in another environment and then see who might be suitable candidates for living within the devotees, living within the assembly of devotees. That'll be better for the devotees and will also be better for such persons. They won't take it cheaply. Actually, don't think that Prabhupada thought that the way Krishna consciousness was spreading in the 70s during his duration here was the only way. He said it in Los Angeles, and Bhurijan Prabhu also told me he said it in Australia. Better they stay at home, study the books, and then when they're completely convinced, they come live at the temple. Now, I knew he said that in Los Angeles, but then Bhurijan told me he also said it in Australia, in Melbourne. Better they stay at home, study our books, and when they become completely convinced, then they can choose to live in the temple. Otherwise, no. Sounds like one of those instructions Prabhupada gave that you didn't listen to it. Just, people want to move in. Shave up. Shave them up. Brahmacharis, they're wearing saffron. Chaste ladies, they're wearing saris. There's a lot more required than that. So maybe now we should follow those instructions from Prabhupada. Also, I found out that by cultivating people in their own environment first, unless you can make some kind of intermediate environment, which I also do that, but by cultivating them in their own environment, they can see that actually, in case I can't make it in temple or community life, I see that I can become, I can maintain a reasonable level of Krishna consciousness on my own. They have that conviction from the beginning. It's not like, you know, okay, I never, you know, not chanting, not even following the regular principles, they got a unit for me, you know. Then they move on the property, and then there's, you know, they can't keep it together, and then they think, well, I guess that's it for Krishna consciousness for me. No, I can't follow on the property, can't follow in the temple, so I guess that's it. They've had no background of successfully following Krishna consciousness on the outside, so they think, when you go outside, that's it, you're finished. But if you can get them to a reasonable level of Krishna consciousness first on the outside, in the possibility that they can practice Krishna consciousness on the inside, they won't just think that's the end. Well, I chanted my rounds when I was out there. Because there is probably a 50% chance that they won't last living in a communal situation. You have to be practical. But I'm sure that those who are humbly trying to distribute Lord Chaitanya's mercy get tired of seeing people coming and going, coming and going. So you keep those things in mind. Yes?
Just following up from that type of preaching that Chuck Maharaj was. What does that actually encompass it in terms of the different grades of achievement that devotees can aspire for, either in a community of temple situation or on the outside, like chanting around it? And can, following from that, can we use that style of presentation for different grades of people?
You're asking me, I myself have found that things are so degraded these days. It's rare that I meet a non-Indian resident of New Zealand who can maintain even a slight bit of respectability by chanting one or two rounds. I'm willing to accept the theory, I haven't seen it. And even those who are coming from Indian families, you know what's happening to the youth. The pressure is so great that even though they have maybe nice parents, have deity at home and come to the temple weekly, still, it's not enough to protect them. The motive, passion, and ignorance is so powerful, even in New Zealand, that short of following or trying to follow Prabhupada's full program, I haven't seen. It's rare that I've seen someone keep their nose above the water. It's very rare. I've been to every town and city in New Zealand. It's just very rare. It's an abnormal person. So therefore, if we want to be especially merciful to them, we have to try to build them up to where they're following Prabhupada's minimum program, following the regular principles, chanting at least 16 rounds. I mean, you all know that there are Vaishnav preachers who are handing out instant initiation. And you know what the behavior of those persons is like, of the persons who get the so-called instant initiation. No standard. Therefore, I have no doubts that Srila Prabhupada understood far better than anyone how to spread Krishna consciousness. Not only outside of India, but now we're seeing he also understood it best in India. Recently, I was just preaching at IIT, outside of Mumbai. Any of our devotees from India, they know IIT is like the Brahmalok of universities in India. So, whenever I go to Mumbai, I preach there. And then I gave a talk at the Chaupati Temple to 500 single men between the ages of 19 and 30. That's their single men's bachelor's group. So, a reporter from the Indian Express came and covered the whole program. And then they interviewed me. She interviewed me, Porter from the Indian Express. She put the article on the front page of the Indian Express, the nationwide newspaper. And I was explaining how unless people in India take up the full process of Krishna consciousness, what will be their hope? I told them the truth. I said, the students at IIT, your supreme destination, have told me that on weekends, 80% of them get drunk. And not only that, the students at IIT have told me that what do they use their broadband high-speed internet connections for? What do you think? Right. They say they all the men do it. For pornography. So I told the newspaper reporter, how can these people do any good for society? So they printed it all. Front page, Indian Express. Swami Devamrita of New Zealand. Even in India, the degradation is increasing so much because of the television. Mumbai has changed so much just in 3 years. Of course, simultaneously, Lord Chaitanya's movement is growing more and more powerful. Both things are happening at the same time. The degradation on the one hand, and Lord Chaitanya's mercy on the other hand. Both things are increasing. The breakneck pace, side by side. It'll be interesting, the future of India. So we want to interest everyone in Krishna consciousness, even if they just have some slight engagement in bhakti. But practically speaking, all right, we'll just talk about this country. I know this country very well. Been to every nook and cranny. I just haven't seen it possible that someone can keep their nose above the gross degrading waters of Kali Yuga without trying to follow Prabhupada's full program. I just haven't seen it. I'd like to see it, but I just haven't. Because things are so intense these days. The pressure, the stress. If the degradation doesn't get you, the stress gets you. How to keep your job, how to find a job. And I do see that people, if you put some effort into them, they will take Prabhupada's full program and get others to do that. The Hari Bowls, they tried the minimal requirement system ages ago. You can see that they didn't get very far. So yes, we can organize people in terms of whatever contact they have with Krishna consciousness, but from what I've seen, let's just talk about New Zealand, unless there is a full effort to elevate them and get them to understand that they've got to go the whole distance if they want to truly benefit themselves, I don't see it working. I haven't seen that. Maybe things will change in the future. But if you knew what these young people under 25 these days are going through, you were young in the Satya Yuga. Your parents, they're, you know, the same parents, yes? Very rare. What starts at the age of 12 these days, you'd be shocked. And I don't want to go into the details, but it is shocking. The only thing that can salvage such persons is Prabhupada's full program. Even Indian families, they have children. I've seen so many times children of respectable families, and the children just turn their back on what the father and mother have taught them. I want to be a Kiwi. This is not India. I want to wear a hat backwards and go to parties. I want to be a Kiwi. I don't want to be different. So powerful is the degradation these days. But those who try to fully take shelter of Prabhupada's program, they can be protected. So what I do personally, you're asking me, so I'm answering. Personally, I try to work with people to bring them up, actively bring them up to the level of the full standard. Otherwise, I don't consider my efforts to be successful, because I know they will not be protected against the degradation of the age of Kali. It won't last. I know it. It won't last. Basically, I just, so many times a week, I'm just saying the same thing to persons. Do you want it to get it together or do you not? If you want it to get it together, I'll help you. But what do you want? Because I know Maya is not going to be on vacation, you know. Okay, I won't touch this person. I'll let them, you know, gradually dip their toes into Krishna consciousness. I'll leave them alone. And I haven't seen that happen. It's a battle. Who's going to get there first, you know? Is it going to be Nityananda or is it going to be Maya Devi? Who's going to be knocking on the door first, you know? It's a wrestling match. Prabhupada would say that sometimes about preaching. He said, a fight is a fight.